G'day everyone. I'm going to talk about light. So if you could turn to 1 John chapter 5. So while you're turning there, I'll just quote Galatians 3:24 says, "The law is a schoolmaster." And Hebrews 10:1 says, "The law is a shadow of things to come." So the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Shadow of good things to come. So we read the Old Testament with a spiritual bent, so to speak, and a schoolmaster of the spiritual things. And I found that sometimes I like to look at nature in the same way. And Jesus brought about some examples in nature that people understood to explain his ways and God's ways. And likewise, I often like to look at nature and read nature as if it's the Old Testament, as if it's a shadow of things to come. The flesh and the spirit, so to speak, fleshly things, things that you see compared to the spiritual things. And many years ago, who here has heard of the dual nature of light? Okay, right, I'll see. it's always fascinated me, the dual nature of light. I'll see if I can explain this. We all know light is a wave, right? And like the reason you can see things in a mirror is because it's a wave. It behaves like a wave. You know, waves reflect, like waves in the ocean, they reflect off solid walls in the same way light reflects. But the reason we can actually see with our eyes is it's got a particle nature to it. So it's this weird thing, this dual nature of light. So in our eyes is a molecule called beta carotene, as it turns out. So carrots are good for your eyes. And a particle of light, which is a particle of energy, collides with this and bends it around. So that then message goes to the brain saying, yep, okay, I see a bit of light. So it's a bizarre thing. You can only... how to explain? So you can actually perform experiments to prove that it has a wave nature. But then in the 1880s, they started looking at other experiments, the nature of atoms and so forth, and there were results to these experiments that didn't make sense. The wave nature of light wouldn't explain it. And they discovered that there must be a particle nature of light. Now, there are no experiments that prove both aspects of light. Like, it's a bizarre thing. Like, light is a wave, you do experiments. Light is a particle of energy, and you do experiments. But there's no one experiment that proves both natures of light. So it's this weird thing. So many years ago, I thought, oh, you know, like the whole Holy Ghost, Jesus, and God all being one, did my head in. But then it does scientists' head in as well, that light has two natures, wave and a particle. It just doesn't make sense. But it all kind of came together. So anyway, we'll read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. This summarises it the best. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So in the same way with light, you've got the wave and the particle, but it's one, it's light, it's the way it is. So there's aspects of light, like, that I'll bring out, that I'm sure God has used as an example for us to try and understand him. So John chapter 1, which was read out this morning. John chapter 1. Now, I'll read this first. John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So again, this weird combination. The Word was with God, but the Word was God. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So the life is that word light. "The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So we know the Word is Jesus. And it says here, "The light shineth in darkness," in the world. "But the darkness comprehended it not." The world didn't know, didn't recognize this light. So with this dual nature of light, I postulate that the particle is Jesus, right? He's the flesh and blood. The particle is Jesus, the particle nature of God. And it is still light. He is the light of the world in amongst the darkness. So John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we follow Jesus, we have the light of life. He is our pillar of fire before us, this particle this of light, of God. Isaiah 9:2 says, those in darkness have seen a great light. So this is prophesying about Jesus in the future, and those in darkness around the world saw this great light, and this great light was Jesus himself. Because of the words he spoke. He is the Word. John 11, just over a couple of pages. John 11 and verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And then verse 10, but if a man walk in night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. So this refers, you know, we are spirit-filled, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and here it says here, because there is no light in him. So obviously those that walk in the light have light in them as well. And the light we have in us is the Holy Spirit, which is that wave nature of light, the light of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So God obviously holds light in high importance, because he refers to himself as light. And so if we look at the nature of light, maybe we can work out the nature of God a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So here's another aspect. So, okay, I've handled the Jesus being the particle, the Holy Spirit being the wave, nature of light. But here, verse 10, it says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so I postulate, you know, in darkness you get light and it reveals stuff, reveals objects, so that you don't stumble and fall. And so Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they reveal the works of God. So when we have those things, like Jesus spoke about the works of God, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, other people can see the joy of the Lord in us. They can see the works of the Lord, the works of God. And so that's the other aspect. That's the, you know, the so-called three aspects of God that that I'm trying to bring out here a little bit. And then John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. May be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So people's deeds are exposed by the Spirit, by light. But also God's deeds are exposed by the Spirit and by the light. Now, people's deeds are evil, so they try to hide them. They are attracted to the darkness because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. Whereas God's deeds are good. And so it is, God wants his deeds to be exposed for everyone to see. So we're attracted to the light in that way, so that God's deeds can be shown to the rest of the world. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Right, so now this is referring to us. Us as human beings. We are the light of the world. Because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit emits light from us, right? And so we're like little stars in amongst the darkness of the world, because we are the light of the world. But it's as a consequence of the Holy Spirit being in us, and that Holy Spirit exposing God's works in us. Philippians chapter 2, little stars in amongst the darkness. There was a gift a couple of weeks ago about that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. So that backs it up, that we are little stars in amongst the darkness, and it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, so that we can be blameless and harmless before the Lord. And these are the things, these are the works of the Lord, that that the light exposes to the rest of the world. Yeah, I know, it's a bit of a disruption. But hey, you can still hear me, can't you? Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So that's a lovely little proverb, that the path of the just, and we are righteous before the Lord, and it's as a shining light. But then it says, that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So as we go on through life and we grow and we learn more about the things of the Lord, and we've got more of the works of God that can be exposed by His Holy Spirit and the Word, light, it shines more and more unto the perfect day. So that's why, I mean, again, in the gifts is for us to talk about things and tell people about the wonderful things that the Lord's done, so that so that then the works of the Lord are exposed, because it's not a good thing when the works of the Lord are hidden. It doesn't belong hidden, because we are the people of the light. Okay, finish up with Genesis chapter 1. Just a little interesting aspect that's been was brought out a long time ago, but Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So again, it's an aspect that the Lord obviously holds light in high regard, because on the first day, He created light. Then another aspect, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So what's interesting here is God created the light on the first day, and He was pleased with what He saw. But then on the fourth day, He created the sun and the moon. So that's a peculiar thing. Like, how can you have light without the sun and the moon? We don't get it. But obviously, God created the light first, and He holds that in great importance, more so than the sun and the moon. And He has made this correlation between Himself and light, and He's put in light itself aspects that are weird, like the particle, the wave, and the fact that it exposes objects as an allegory of His own nature. So I'll hand back to Pastor Tim.